WildTalkRadio.com.
All right. It's been a long time since I've done this, but here we go. Welcome to Monday Night Raw. Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Monday Night Raw, it's here.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
He's here, isn't he?
He's everywhere. And I can hear him now. Let him in.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Somewhere, they found the focus. Somewhere, they found a way to put together a show that's worth watching. It's amazing. It is the Raw Post Show, live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com, twitch.tv/WTLive. Yeah, I'm a Sound Prime link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming, and you can support the channel by clicking that preferred rectangular button below the screen. I am Sorokin. That's Lindsay Ward.
I don't know who came off vacation, but I'm very happy that they did.
They gotta sell tickets!
That's kind of it. Like, you can see there's a really hard direction that they're going in right now. To get to Money in the Bank, they're having to announce matches, they're having to set up feuds, they're having to build stories. Like, they're actually having to do things that matter, because in
three weeks,
they have to be back in front of a crowd. You have, like you said, they have to sell tickets, so they have to build interest in the pay-per-view. They just can't meh it anymore, which it, I know that's not what they have been doing, but that feels like that's what they've been doing now for a while, because it's like, it's that big countdown, it's that big push to finally get back out on the road, get back in front of crowds. You know, COVID has subsided enough that they can do that, and so it's like you can kind of feel that energy in the company starting to build, where people are getting excited in the company, because it's like, yes, finally, after a year and what, a half essentially, or a year and 3 months, they can finally go back out on the road. So I this was a vast improvement from the last few weeks on Monday Night Raw. There's still no Bray Wyatt. He's just never coming back.
So they shut down March 16th. Or was it March? Or was it before then? Was Raw the first studio show? It will be like a year and 3 months or 4 months from that point.
I think the first studio show was a Raw, because it was like, we didn't even know if it was going to go on the air. And they're like, yes, we're going on the air. We're going live. It was from the PC. Like, I remember all of that, because it wasn't a SmackDown. It was a Raw, because they had, I think they had Taker there.
No, they had Taker there. It was also Austin Knight.
That's right. It was Austin Knight, and it was so weird. And they had Byron like doing the crowd pops for Austin, and everybody was just really confused. Like, they didn't know what to do. It was so, I remember that show. It was like really, really awkward, because it's like you just put it up there with the Volcano show, where nobody was able to get over from Europe, so they just did what they could, and that's literally what they did here. Because wasn't Hunter on that show too? Didn't Hunter like show up on the first Raw, or was that the SmackDown?
He did SmackDown. No, okay, so SmackDown was the first show in front of no crowd.
Okay,
that's right. So SmackDown March 13th was in front of no crowd. That was John Cena, Bray Wyatt going face to face.
That's right.
And Hunter was doing the commentary. So that
That's
was the
right.
That was the first show. Okay, so I was trying to think, like, because it's like the 16th would be the day. So anyway, that has nothing to do with nothing. It does, none of that actually matters. So we're here to talk Raw and direction. And last week we were told it was going to be Randy, AJ, and Drew in a last chance match, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where's Randy?
Randy was not here, but he left a note with Matt Riddle, you know, saying that Matt Riddle should totally, you know, like, take Randy's place because he's such a brodacious dude and everything, because that's exactly how Randy Orton talks. And he writes in green Crayola marker and signs everything with a snake. That was fantastically stupid, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, that whole, like, basically Matt Riddle walks up to Adam Pearce with this handwritten, scribbled note in green, I'm not kidding, marker, signed with a snake, and he's like, yeah, no, Randy left this with me. It's 2 pages long, by the way. And Pearce is just standing there looking at it like, I made so many bad choices to get to this point. Like, just FML.
So they weren't going to put him in the triple threat, but they'll put him in the battle royal that they were going to make to put the third guy in instead of, like AJ mentioned, just do a one-on-one match, because that would have made more sense. But logically, here we are. So, the Riddle stuff was great. The Battle Royal featured Riddle, Jeff Hardy, Akira Tozawa, R-Truth, Shelton Benjamin, Mustafa Ali, Drew Gulak, Cedric Alexander, Humberto was in this match? Damian Priest, Rikai Hart, Jinder Mahal, and Mansoor. I don't think that was Humberto. I thought that was Angel Garza. I think this report has it wrong. Right? It was Angel Garza in the match.
I don't remember seeing either one of us.
No, like, I could. No. Because Garza was the one who hopped on one foot.
That's right.
So this report's wrong. Okay. Because, like, I'm reading the names. Like, I don't remember Humberto being in it.
Yeah. It's like, wait.
That made no sense to me. Anyway, they found Damon Priest. It was him and Matt Riddle in the end. You had almost get involved, take out the Viking Raiders, which pissed them off. But Matt Riddle eliminated Damian Priest and gets to go into a triple threat match. Oh, cool. Give me a Matt Riddle Damian Priest match at some point.
I'm kind of down for that. Like, I'm really kind of here for that.
Also, I'm over Cedric Alexander yelling and go to a retirement home. No, I'm over that stuff.
Yeah, no, it's stupid. Have him stop. Just stop with that.
So Matt Riddle in the main event featured AJ Styles and Drew McIntyre, and Drew McIntyre walked out of with the victory and is going to Money in the Bank. Yay!
I mean, I called it last night on WTR. That's what was going to happen. So, you know,
well,
it's not always like to have. It's not surprised to have Drew there. Sorry, I spilled something all over my keyboard. I'm trying to clean it off. Anyway, because it's kind of like that loophole, right? We've talked about that before with Drew, where it's he can't get another match with Bobby. He can't.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. He's done. So what's the ultimate loophole to that, to any in any situation? It is to win Money in the Bank, because now it's Bobby doesn't get a choice, right? Like, Drew could do the honorable thing and say, hey, I'll trade you a title shot for a contract, but he can't do that because he's not allowed to get a title shot from Bobby, right? So now he can just look at Bobby and be like, hey, I got a briefcase. I can take that title whenever I want. And he doesn't have to play fair.
Yeah.
And the way that the Drew McIntyre character is he is morally on the side of good. However, if he needs to do something a little shady to get the end result that he wants, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe if Bobby's in a hard, grueling match and Drew decides, hey, you know what? He's worn out. He's worn down. I can take that title from him. He will.
Yeah, well, he'll call his own shot.
So, it creates an interesting dynamic. I don't think Drew is going to win as much as I love Drew, but it is kind of one of those things where it loopholes it and the feud can technically continue between the two if you want to.
Mm.
Like, there's some very fascinating possibilities going on in Money in the Bank right now. They're really trying to make it anybody's race this year, which I like.
Which is what you won compared to previous years.
Yeah, they're not telegraphing who the Money in the Bank winner is, because it's like Big E's in the match as well, and it's like, well, that could go any number of ways depending on what they decide to do with that, because he could come to Raw and he could take Bobby's title.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bobby's picking on Woods and Kofi.
Yeah,
he could come defend the family honor, as it were.
You could. We'll have to see. So we had Shayna Baszler backstage fumbling through cards, because, you know, she's the queen of spades. Nice little tie in there. She uses the card so she doesn't, you know, punch her fist through a wall. She's fucking focused, keeping her mind clear. She's going to take out Nikki Cross tonight. And she talked trash about Alexa, too. And you had Alexa in the background, listening on. Speaking of Nikki,
she's lurking. She's present.
Alexa is present everywhere. So Nikki's backstage and talking about how she's almost a superhero. She's inspiring to be a hero. She said she's always had something deep down, but now she has the courage to show it. She wants everyone out there to have that feeling deep down in their heart that they can be better. She qualified for Money in the Bank. She could have the contract, and she's so excited she could be the next women's champion. She slowed down. She has to focus on Shayna. And said her goal was to be an almost superhero. So she's Nikki Ash. Nikki almost a superhero.
Okay.
Like I said last week, she's going to be here to inspire people. And based on the things I've seen on Twitter, yeah, all the fan art that's being made about her
is really cool.
Yeah, that's the connection you want from people. Nikki took on Shayna. You had Nia and Reginald, and then you had Alexa come out and sort of watch Nikki's back, I guess, in a way. She took out both Reginald and Nia. And Nikki got the win.
It's kind of interesting how Alexa's helping Nikki a little bit. You mm-hmm. know, they used to be best buds. And in terms of the Nikki character, I'm really curious to see what they do with it. Because there's a lot of places they could go with that. I know a lot of people are like, oh my god, it's stupid. Like, oh my god, it's not serious wrestling. But, okay. So you're creating essentially this ultimate good guy, right? Like the ultimate baby face, similar to kind of what like Shane Helms was back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And you have several what could be considered arch nemeses for Nikki to take on. You have Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax. You have a Charlotte Flair. You technically have a Rhea Ripley, although that's a little bit of a gray area. Mm-hmm. And you have Alexa Bliss. And there's a lot of history between Nikki and Alexa Bliss. And they haven't gone there with it yet. They've teased it and they've been building it between the two very, very slowly from, you know, basically you had Alexa get seduced by Bray Wyatt, the darkness. Still bitter. And that split her and Nikki up, right? And Nikki tried to save Alexa and tried to save Alexa. Couldn't save Alexa. Mm-hmm. Had to give up.
Mm-hmm.
Or she just gave up. Nikki and Alexa go about their own business and then they kind of come back together again and they have their little matches. You call back on that history and then they split up and then you go back again. And now you're going back with a superhero gimmick where Nikki is the ultimate good guy and the way that they've set Alexa up is she really is, I don't want to say she's bad because she's really not, but they're setting her up as the big evil in WWE. For the mm-hmm. women's division outside of Charlotte. Like, her and Charlotte are kind of, like, right there together.
Mm-hmm.
And could Nikki, you could tell that story with Nikki. You wanted to go in the direction of Alexa of, well, I failed to save you. I want to save you. I want to help you. Right? You're free of Bray. You've broken free of him. You're on your own. You have the creepy doll that may or may not still be involved. But, you know, you're still my friend. Let me help you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that story and that struggle of Alexa sort of toying with Nikki, like, oh, yes, yes, I need your help, not really. And you can have that rivalry and build that rivalry back and forth. You can also have Nikki take on Charlotte Flair because she's playing another big evil. And she's kind of playing almost that classic villain role
mm-hmm.
really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
So you could take Nikki in that direction too. So it's going to be really fun to watch what they do with her and how they incorporate her into the women's division. There's also Eva Marie, right? Everybody's favorite person that they love to hate. Nikki's the ultimate role model, or she wants to be a role model. Well, Eva Marie is your role supermodel. You also have a role model on SmackDown.
You do. Like, what they're doing and what's missing from Raw, and we said this for months, the underdog, they're building a true underdog from the ground up, which is what
and
you want.
And people are connecting with her.
Yeah, which is what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You gave me two different transitions. We're going to stick with the Charlotte Flair transition. She teamed with Natty and Tamina to take on Rhea, Mandy, and Dana. Charlotte got the win for her team, but then was chop locked by Rhea after the match.
I like how Charlotte recruited Tamina and Natty. I feel like Tamina, the way that they're writing her character right now, would survive pretty much any situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like when they're on the fun house, she's like, or the playground, she's like, yeah, no, this is all, no, we shouldn't be here. We need to leave, like, now.
Oh, going back a little ways, in the Battle Royal, the 24/7 title changed hands like four times. I think Tozawa has it back.
It's not our truth. He doesn't have it.
Because he was watching Riker slap himself.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
We are right now. He was slapping himself with a strap.
You know, I've seen some kinky shit throughout my years in WWE. I really, really, really have. Like, this is the most, I'm going to say, overt that I've ever seen them be about it. Because it's like, it's self-flagellation, but he's into it. He's into the self-flagellation. Like, this is almost on the level of, like, Husky Harris getting whipped by CM Punk. Like, shit. Right?
I guess.
Like, that was the last time they were really, truly overt with, like, the whole S&M thing. So, I don't know how I feel about it. I really don't. Like, it makes Jackson Riker interesting, but I'm not sure it makes him interesting in a good way. Because you just sit here and you watch him and you're like, sir, should you really be doing that on TV? This is a kid show.
He also beat Elias Stein.
In a strap match. He's pretty brutal with it. He got off on it. Like, it almost feels like he's doing Dexter. Like, the Dexter gimmick. But he's doing it...
I wouldn't say he's doing the Dexter gimmick.
It's the stare.
Yeah.
Where he's just, like, standing there staring and whipping himself.
I guess.
That's what... I get the Dexter vibe off of him. I really, really, really do. And that's not a bad thing, but it's like, dude, no.
Ricochet and John Morrison battle to a double countout. Big crossbody over the barricade.
Yeah.
That was a cool spot.
I actually like this match. I wouldn't mind seeing more of it. It was really, really good.
Both men are in Money Bank, so, you know, that's what you want. You mentioned Eva Marie. She teamed up with Doudrop to take on Asuka and Naomi. So they were backstage, and she's being interviewed. Eva's being interviewed, and, like, you know, she's talking, and the face is... Doudrop's making. It's just perfect.
The live reactions by Piper is just
Doudrop.
Amazing. I'm calling her Piper. Her name is Piper.
Doudrop.
I refuse to call her that.
Doudrop.
Refuse!
Doudrop got left by Eva, and then Doudrop still got the win.
And Eva was pissed.
Was, but then we realized, wait, I won. All part of the plan.
She'd get there eventually.
She got there eventually. So the big talking segment of the show featured Kofi Kingston and MVP, and Kofi came out and he talked everything about it, what happened last week with Xavier and how it all is, and talked about how he would just support him the entire time. Then he's going to stand up for his boy. And then MVP came out with all the women, and Bobby Lashley's on vacation, because reasons. Talked about how, you know, he's going to win, how Kofi said he's going to win the title, and he laughed it off, and he said that was ridiculous, and just like Budios and everything like that. He said Kingston is a feel-good story, but not a threat to Lashley. He said Lashley is enjoying his vacation, but he had a message to deliver. He said he enjoyed what Lashley did to Woods last week, and it will look like child's play to what it does to Kofi Kingston at Money in the Bank. Kofi's like, Lashley's getting a little soft, and, you know, and that's coming from a guy who hip swivels, pancake tosses, his unicorn horn, and everything like that. He said if it wasn't for MVP, Drew McIntyre would be WWE champion, and Woods came this close to beating the WWE champion. By the way, it's going to be Woods and Lashley again next week, because he's come back, even though MVP didn't think he would. Then Kofi talked about, you know, him being a champion, how long he was champion, what he did, and how he was there every day. He went to West Ghana, Africa, came back, still made TV, while Lashley's off on vacation. MVP says he has a knee injury, and not clear, but he's hurt. But, you know, if he wasn't hurt, he would whoop Kofi's ass. But then Kofi went after him and laid him out with Trouble in Paradise. Kofi really hyped himself up in this promo, which was really nice to see.
I like that it was serious. I like that it was direct. We got to see the Kofi Kingston that is a threat. Like, and I think people do forget that about him, that it's like, yeah, he's all fun and jokes and bootios and pancakes. But when he needs to be serious, and this was any of the New Day, this is what made them so dangerous, was when they needed to get serious, they got serious, and they got business done.
Mm-hmm.
And they got good enough at it that it's like, they didn't even really need to be serious anymore. They could get business done and laugh and joke and play around and do everything that they did. And that's why they were so good. And that's what's gonna make this better, is that Kofi's like, you know what? Yeah, I like to have fun, but F your shit. I'm gonna take your title.
Yeah, so they're doing a nice job of building to the match coming up at Money in the Bank in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly what you want. Good build. So that's Raw. Solid show tonight.
Like I said, I really liked how this had a direction. You could see that this had a direction. It felt good. It felt right. You can feel the energy of them being excited that the fans are coming back. They're getting ready to go.
They're motivated.
I also like that they're humanizing Alexa a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing her back into reality, which they kind of have to do. But I really enjoyed, like, it wasn't like, oh my God, this was, you know, the best thing I've ever seen. But I really enjoyed tonight. It moved. It didn't drag.
When you have a direction, things move.
It's amazing what happens when you have a direction.
Only took them 15 months. It was a small pro show. Presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Thursday, we're live for the rack.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have news, notes, NXT, a discussion, all your favorites. It's the rack right here on walltalkradio.com. 10 p.m. Eastern, Thursday nights.
Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms and wherever you get podcasts, Saturday night, midnight, and other edition of CB Radio, CBRadio.com, GrandTheGreatDebate.com. Russell Talk Radio will be back on July 11th. We'll be back next Monday for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit code ROCKETSOCK or
Lynn's M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Games Store. Why?
So we are hashtag Epic Partners.
Also, there's like Midas and Brutus and Jules and, Thanos. Go buy it. Use the codes. Ding. Your turn.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNS to
Verity. This has been the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll see you Thursday for a record. Right back here on the Raw Post Show every single Monday night. Along the areas of the Wild Talk Radio Network right here at wildtalkradio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.